Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
The show is brought to you by adamandeve.com. If you go to adamandeve.com and enter Glory at checkout, that's G-L-O-R-Y at checkout, you'll get 50% off almost any item, a free sex swing, and free shipping.
Hey, this is Mike from the unexpected shithole that is Northern Virginia, you know, right outside Washington, D.C., which is the metropolitan who the hell knows what. My wife had to fight for 5 years to get her tubes tied in Virginia because, well, this is a shithole state. Even though we never wanted kids, we will never want kids. Apparently, the state thinks we're going to change our minds soon. Thanks a lot, guys. Just commenting on your you can't handle the truth. Bye-bye.
Hey, Tom and Cecil, you guys did a thing about some evangelicals saying that there was not a scandal in the Oval Office, and that's why he liked Trump. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and interpret that as, to them, scandal means that Trump hasn't said that it's okay for gays to exist or for women to have a choice with what to do with their bodies. And to them, that means that there's been no scandal so far. Glory hole.
Hey guys, I was just listening to your episode, which featured the new law in Arizona where women seeking abortions have to answer a questionnaire. I live next door in Colorado, and trust me, Arizona's a shithole. Driven through it. Terrible. Anyway, what they don't realize, this is the part that really irks me. I've had an abortion, and I went to Planned Parenthood. And you know what Planned Parenthood does? They make you do the same thing. So they make you sit in a room with somebody who asks few questions to make sure this is your choice and that you want to do it. And then they give you like a mandatory wait period. So you can't get your abortion until you talk to them. And then you have to wait a certain amount of time with them and answer all of these questions as well before you're allowed to get your abortion. So the stupid part is they don't even realize that this is already being done. They think they've made this like awesome law that's going to stop women from getting abortions, but most likely if they're going to Planned Parenthood to get any of their stuff or their education, they have to answer those questions anyway, because responsible clinics ask those questions just to make sure someone's not being forced against their will or to make sure that it's the choice they want. Hey guys, keep it up. Glory hole, motherfuckers.
Hey fellas, this is Connor calling from up in Canada there. I was just thinking about the story about how winking is now considered blasphemous under Islam, and it occurs to me that Allah just seems like a real grumpy guy, you know? He doesn't like dancing, and he doesn't like pretty girls, and he doesn't like dogs, and he doesn't like alcohol, and he doesn't like winking, and he just seems like a big fucking killjoy, you know? I wouldn't have the guy over for dinner. I don't understand why people worship him. Anyway, love the show. Glory hole.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode, we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 410 of Cognitive Dissonance, and we may or may not be joined this evening by an in-studio guest.
We may or may not be. It may be on 411, too.
It might be.
It might be on 411 instead.
You don't know.
We don't know.
This
is, can't
you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to listen to both episodes. That's what you're going to have to do.
Who knows?
So
we might have a guest on later. We might not. I don't know.
The episode so nice, you'll have to download it twice.
I think this episode is going to be Waiting for Wrath.
Well, you don't know until you edit it and splice it all together and post.
But I've got to say it every time. So I'm going to hedge my bets and say this episode, we're going to have, not in studio, on Skype, Waiting for Wrath. We're going to be talking about a project that they're putting on, and they're going to come on and chit-chat with us for a little while and talk about how boring it is in, like, Montana or wherever
they are. They're in one of the, like, the states are just like, I don't know, make it a square.
Whatever.
Just, nobody cares where it starts and stops.
Get a surveyor and make it a square.
Hey, does anyone want the land next to it, above it, below it, or the other side? No? Yeah, make it a square. Put it by the other square state.
Don't even have an interesting river to think about it. I want to talk real quick before we get into the episode, though, Tom. Recently, within our last five episodes, I want to say, we had David Silverman on, formerly of American Atheists.
Yeah, formerly.
David Silverman was let go from American Atheists because of sexual misconduct and, I guess, financial misconduct was the other thing that
I thought he'd gotten clear to the financial misconduct.
Did he?
Okay. I thought, I'm not, to be entirely fair, I want to put it out there in the front. Like, I read the original article. I did hear about a follow-up that he was clear to the financial.
Okay.
I think the sexual misconduct allegations are still pending, and so they've let him go.
Yeah. There's been reports. I want to say on BuzzFeed, there was a message that said that, you know, that there was two descriptions about what happened. And in both cases, it's pretty clear somebody overstepped their bounds in both of those cases. And I want to say very quickly, and I want to get it out of the way because I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I want to say, David was on our show and we asked him a question specifically about this, about atheist leaders and bad actors. And David said, I believe the victims and we need to hold those people accountable. I do not feel that because David was a bad actor and David has misconduct now in his past, I don't think his message is any less. I think his message is still valid. Whether or not the person delivering the message is, you know, somebody who clearly is a hypocrite, that doesn't make the message any less important and necessary. The people at American Atheists, they decided to let him go. And I read those allegations and I agree with their decision. I see their decision and I think, yeah, absolutely. I think with those two allegations, I would not want that person representing me either. And I never really had any relationship with David Silverman enough to say I don't really care about what happens to him. But I will say that his message that he delivered on our show still stands, even if he himself is somebody who is sort of now a target of that message.
No matter how things shake out, I think, you know, I saw something online where somebody said, hey, you know, I had so-and-so on the show. They're talking about a different pod. I had so-and-so on the show. What should I do? You know, should I delete the episode? Hey, you can't go back and rewrite history.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, if you have somebody on the show in good faith, and we've had all of our guests on in good faith.
Sure.
Right. So if you have somebody on in good faith and then something happens after the fact that makes you question, you know, would we invite him on now?
No,
absolutely
right? Not.
Of course not. But I think your point is well taken. Like, the message and the messenger should be divorced from one another. And I think we don't do that often enough, right? We confuse very frequently. We confuse the message and the messenger. And when we do that, we can throw away valuable messages because we don't anymore like the messenger. And that's always a mistake. That is every single time that's a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, the quality of somebody's argument, the veracity of the argument does not change because the messenger is,
you know, trouble is problematic, yeah. right? No matter what it is. I'm not even yeah. getting into the specifics. I think it's important to always evaluate the message independent of the messenger.
Sure.
So, you know, the things that David Silverman said when he was on the show, I think were important. They were valuable. Conference that he put together, the pieces that he talked about putting into place to build safe spaces for people to come and to gather. Those are the right messages.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Those are still the right messages.
Still there.
So, you know, I think that was important, and I'm glad that those messages got out.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure that we made a statement about this because I, you know, 100%, we've said it in the past. We condemn people, any form of sexual harassment whatsoever. So there's never any question about that. You don't have to ask us whether or not we think David Silverman is, you know, is in the right or in the wrong. He's 100% in the wrong. We do not condone we actually condemn any kind of sexual harassment or sexual assault.
Anybody who commits an act of sexual harassment or sexual assault. No,
yeah,
don't do that. No. Yeah. Always be not doing that.
And I will always not be on their side. So you don't have to ask that question, but I definitely wanted to get it out of the way that his message was important. And yeah. I don't want people to just say, you know, cause I think what the other side is going to do, the people who don't want a sort of set of boundaries ahead of a conference will look to him and say, see, he's the one who set that up. And even he couldn't stand up to those standards, making sure that
those standards are no longer valuable.
Those standards are no longer, they're not only not valuable, they're just impossible to stand up. Cause even the guy who did it, who set these up, who came on our show and made the claim to fame that he was the one who set this all up, the first conference with a code of conduct, and he broke the code of conduct there. Therefore it's impossible. No, it's not impossible. It's not impossible at all. I saw, you know, they have a really cool system at American Atheist. You put buttons on your lanyard and it's, you can talk to me, you can't talk to me. And it's one of those things like you can like sexually, like, you know, like you, I'm interested in
meeting
possibly meeting someone, like I'm single and ready to mingle or I'm not, you know, and like I'm not interested in that sort of thing. And you can put those right
kind of like
your
when
lanyard.
You go to like a Brazilian steakhouse.
Brazilian steakhouse, you know, you ask for the Brazilian.
It's always green. I'm just saying like that thing is always flipped. To green.
Oh, I thought you're Brazilian. It's always shaved. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So no, it's a really clever system. And I was like, you know what? That's a great system. Cause someone came up to me, I was talking. I was like, what's that button on there? And they explained it. It's a really clever system to initiate contact if that contact is therefore like warranted. And I think it's a great idea. Just cause David is a bad actor doesn't make that idea any less of a good
idea.
Can
you imagine being a single woman at an atheist conference with the bring me more meat button on? Like you would be
it's
sworn.
The hot dog thing. It's that's the hot dog. I mean. It's the hot dog picture where the woman gets hot dogs thrown in her face.
You would like, you'd be like, I'm trying to just, okay, I'm flipping this over. Yeah, yeah. I can't walk.
Exactly. I would always I'd dress in spikes like a puffer fish. You kidding me?
I'm just trying to imagine having the like.
You freaking bully, you coward! I hate you. My listeners hate you, and remember that scumbag forever. We're gonna defeat this anti-human scum. We're gonna wreck their world.
This story is from The Hill. Parents of children who died in Sandy Hook shooting sue Alex Jones for defamation.
Oh, man.
I fucking love this shit. I love this shit. So Alex Jones has been fucking screaming about Sandy Hook being a false flag for what? 3 years? I mean, since it happened. Since it fucking happened. However many years ago it happened. Yeah, yeah. Three families have come forward and said, yeah, that's fucking great. By the way, my fucking kid is dead?
Yeah.
So maybe I'm not the one you want to fuck with, fatty, fat, fat.
And he's the guy who... you know, him and many others that have gone out of their way to talk about the Comet Pizzagate thing. Yep. And a guy came to the Comet Pizza Place with a fucking gun.
Yep.
So you keep talking about these people like they're crisis actors and all that stuff. You keep saying that sort of thing.
And they have been harassed. Yeah. Remember, we covered a story like, I don't know, 9 months or a year ago about a woman who got arrested for harassing the family of one of the victims of the Sandy Hook shooting. It is beyond awful. Like these people have already experienced an incredible loss.
Like a tragedy loss, is one thing that like so many people just can't even understand.
Like a soul crushingly, back-breakingly difficult thing to have to go through and have somebody mock that.
Yeah.
for money? Because, yeah. I mean, that's what this is. Absolutely. Like, Alex Jones is mocking for money. Like,
and he said on here, he said, the only problem is I've watched a lot of soap operas. I've seen a lot of actors before. I know when I'm watching a movie and when I'm watching something real. Yeah, Alex, remember when you threw that fucking chair on your set?
That was a soap opera.
That was a fucking soap opera. Like, right? Everything he does is a soap opera. Yeah. You know, so this idea that he's, you know, he's projecting on all these other people that they're acting when he's the one.
You know, that's
one.
Interesting, yeah. Right? He's like, well, I'm a liar and a fake, yeah. And I know one when I see
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Because I'm one.
Yeah.
So.
You know, he's going to have to make a Chobani-like statement and be like, I am, just want to say that those people were real and
won't work though
hurt and my lawyers told me to read this and-
but you know here's the thing, like when he did that with Chobani's like, all right, cool, we're cool, we'll let it go. If I'm one of these families, I'd be like, well, that's an admission, we'll just go ahead and use that in court. Yeah. By the way, I want to ruin you.
Yeah,
like you hurt me in the softest spot. Yeah. I
can't believe that he would be so brazen with all of this and say these things constantly over and over again. And you know, this is not one of those things that he can fall back on. And remember when he did the Chobani thing and he fell back and said, you know, I was just reporting what other news agencies said. And he said the same thing about Pizzagate. He's like, I'm just reporting what other people. He backed away real hard from Pizzagate when that happened. I'll tell you what, this isn't something you can back away from because you've been leading the charge. And there's a whole supercut I saw today that was on Twitter. 7 minutes of him in different portions talking about how they were liars. And he's like, I didn't believe it at first, but that's not true. It didn't happen. On and on and on and on. He's going to, I think, you know, if I'm sure the interesting law part of this has to do with whether or not this is defamation and whether or not he's going to actually be.
Yeah. I don't know how that works. Yeah. Like, I don't know anything about law talkings.
I don't either.
You know, I don't want to pretend that I do.
I don't either. Yeah.
But I can say that, like, what I hope, and it's just a hope, you know, like,
it doesn't
fucking hope in one hand, shit in the other, right?
Yeah.
My hope is that this ruins him. Just fucking financially destroys Alex Jones. And I hope it ruins him forever.
Yeah.
And when I say that, like, I want to be very clear about what I mean. I hope he never, ever, ever recovers. I hope he works as a fucking used car salesman for the rest of his fucking days, which are, in my humble estimation, going to be short because of the steroid use, you know.
And then garnished wages until he dies,
Because genuinely, this isn't this, I mean, it is an inexcusably mean-spirited thing to do.
Yeah.
And there's no way, and this is the great thing about not being Christian, right? Like, I don't think he should be forgiven ever for hurting people that hurt, right?
It's nobody else's place except for those people who've been hurt to decide whether they're forgiven or not.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. But like, as somebody out on the outside, it's like, you're a person who hurts people that hurt. That makes you the worst. Like, you're just like in a category, it's called the worst. And it's like got one column. And in it right now, there may be other people, but there's certainly you.
Yeah.
Like, you're in that category of the worst.
Yeah.
I hope they fucking ruin this guy.
You know, it's not far-fetched because the lawsuits are in the millions already. And there's several different people. And I can't imagine while he is, you know, I'm sure he's worth some millions. He's not worth that much. They may have to dismantle the entire network too.
Oh, it would be amazing.
So
it'd be amazing.
But Alex is going to be embattled for a long time about this. You know, I don't know how long they're going to be able to delay and all that stuff. You know how fucking the law is all stupid.
I know. Takes forever.
Can we just get back to trial by combat? Although
Alex Jones would love that.
Although Alex Jones, you'd have to get a ringer. You'd have to be like, okay, I brought, you know.
You got
to
get your champion,
yeah,
right?
You got to bring in like Chuck Liddell or something.
I got the Rock just shows up. He's like everybody's ringer.
Get the Mountain from the Game of Thrones.
Right?
I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence!
Oh, this story is everything to me right now. This story is from Right Wing Watch. It's Alex Jones. Alex Jones claims attractive women tried to date him in high school to convert him to Satanism. This story is everything. I saw this week and I was like, I was so fucking erect. Yeah. I could not. I was like,
giddy. I was
giddy.
This is
beautiful.
All right. So this is Alex from his show InfoWars.
You know, when I was growing up in Rockwall, Texas, at that time, the richest county in Texas, a bedroom community of Dallas. And every time I thought some hot 17-year-old when I was like 13 or 14 really wanted to date me.
Oh, so much already. Yeah. 16 seconds. Yeah. 16 seconds.
Is he really telling us, Tom, stories about his middle school dating life and how awesome it was? No. The idea that he's going to be telling us this one time at camp, I banged a girl from like Niagara Falls, is the very best. Because that's what it is. It's a Niagara Falls story.
I know, but
it's a band camp story.
But it's even better because like, he even paints himself in a shitty light. He's like, look, man, these girls wanted to date me. I don't know why they wanted to do that either. Like, he also can't figure it out. Yeah. He made up a story that is improbable. And he basically highlights the improbability of attractive women wanting to date him and ascribing supernatural influences as the only thing that could account for this bizarre phenomenon.
How weird would it be if you sat down and talked to somebody and they were like, let me tell you about this time in high school where I was really cool. You'd just be like, I gotta go.
Dude, I sat in on a meeting. I sat in on a meeting with a guy who's got to be late 50s, early 60s, oh, wow. Right?
Yeah.
And I look over and he's got his high school class ring.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, did you throw the big football catch thing or whatever? Like, are you
Jostens talked him into a ring.
It was a high school class ring. That is a man nearing retirement age.
Wow.
And he's like, you know, when I woke up this morning and I put this suit on,
chose this ring.
This is the ring. This is the one.
He doesn't have his wedding ring on.
He didn't have a wedding ring on. Probably because his fucking 17-year-old girlfriend from back in the day. You know, I once dated a girl with a vagina. I mean, I never saw it, but she said she had one. Her hair was long.
And I drive out to some big old mansion of theirs. And I mean, real mansions, helicopter pads, private landing fields, you name it.
He would drive out when he was 13 or 14.
How are you driving out there? What are you taking, your scooter? It's Alex Jones. Alex Jones has like those knickers on, those onesie knickers. And his little shoes, and he's pushing it down the road. That's amazeballs.
I would drive out to the mansions. At the third or fourth time I'd been with them, they'd tell me, by the way, we worship this god, and we want you to come to this event. We want you to engage in this activity because Lucifer's really God.
This happened to him. Hold on a minute. This is amazing.
Oh, gosh.
Because he said every time, as if this was like a common
occurrence. Like constantly.
Well, like all happens. The 17-year-old girls say, like, they turn like 16, like 15, they have their quinceañera, and then like 17, they have their like Lucifanera or some shit. What the fuck? You got Beelzebub. Whatever. Happens to all the girls around here.
I love the idea that they'll be like after the fourth meeting, they're like, you're cool enough to tell you about the Lucifer thing.
Like, how does that work? Like, because I'm not a fucking 13-year-old boy anymore. Like, are you fucking by the third date?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think maybe you've tweaked a booby.
All right. Okay.
Third date? Right.
So the 17-year-old's like, all right, I'll let you.
You've moved past the cheek. Kissing a little tongue, and you've tweaked a boobie.
All right. Yeah. So we've got the headlights on.
All the 13-year-olds, now they're on Tinder.
And, you know, I told people those stories when I first got on air 20 years ago.
And they were like, bullshit.
Really?
They're like, do you know that you sound really pathetic?
Did this really happen to you?
Here's the thing. Even if it were true, think about how pathetic this makes him.
I know, God. Like, you're still talking about it years and years
if
later.
If this were true, this should be your secret shame. Make this your secret shame.
And you kind of sound a little bit hokey, but now you see it all with the mainstream media. And there's a spiritual component to this. It's not a power trip. They knew interdimensionally.
You know, I don't like a superficial girl that only thinks about things one dimensionally.
I like him to think outside of the Schrodinger's cube.
I like a good interdimensional thought. That's they were really thinking interdimensionally about that one. Oh, fuck. That's impressively impossible.
Because believe me, they weren't trying to get the average person to go do that. Everybody thought like, why are you dating the head cheerleader, the head senior when you're a freshman in high school?
Is there a head senior?
There's a head senior.
Does that senior give head?
No, he's clearly dating the valedictorian cheerleader, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now.
Like, did they name the, like, oh, you're the head senior. So there's a lot of responsibility that comes with this position. You have to become satanic and date 13-year-old boys.
Here's a garden hose. Here's a golf ball. Tell me when you're done.
Well, because, you know, she was driving me out there in her $100,000 Mercedes, and that was 30-something years ago.
I thought you were driving. This story is getting more complicated as we go along.
I don't understand this story at all. So,
you know, Judge Judy says, if you tell the truth, you don't have to live a long memory. And I think right now, you're already messing up your own story.
And again, I just want to point out again, like, he's saying, like, when I told this story, people were like, why did this happen to you? They're like looking at him like, wait a minute.
Wait.
Can we rewind to the part where a hot chick wanted to see you?
You're like a box with a head. You're like one of those clothing boxes they drop clothes.
Right? It's like a wardrobe box.
A pumpkin someone set on top of it.
Driving me out there in her $100,000 Mercedes, that'd be a $300,000 Maybach today. To try to
Why did it change brands?
I don't know.
It just okay.
Get me into the cult. And then I was about 16 and got taken by a girl out to the lake. And this big vineyard, it was way out in Hunt, way outside Dallas. And I saw these police cars pulling up, people getting out and saying, we're going to have a bonfire. Alex, don't be scared. And started seeing.
Why would they say that? Why would they say, we're going to have a bonfire. Don't be scared.
Maybe he's 16 and afraid of fire. Was he Frankenstein's monster?
That's the weirdest thing anybody's ever said in a sentence to anyone.
So a 16-year-old girl drives him. So we don't know how. No, he's 16. So how old are the girls now? Are they still 17?
No, he's 16. I guess they're probably a little older at this point.
So are they still
19?
Okay. And they're still driving him places?
I guess so at 16.
Man, he's fucking killing it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Uber back then was killer.
So she's driving him out to the lake, which is also a vineyard. Mm-hmm. And then the police show up to have a scary bonfire.
To have a scary bonfire, yep.
Okay.
People putting black hoods on. These weren't KKK hoods. These were black hoods. And I remember...
Yeah, They weren't the good kind of hood. They were black hoods.
Oh, Jesus. They were black hats.
Saying, oh my God. She's like, don't be scared. And I said, I'm not scared. I'm not part of this. And walking back on the road, and about 5 miles later, didn't have cell phones back then. I had like 10 miles to walk back. Police came and got me. Said, boy, you've been drinking. We're taking you to jail. And then my family lawyer called my dad and they said, Dr. Jones, you need to leave Dallas or your son's going to be found dead hanging in a jail cell.
Yeah, none of that happened.
Because lawyers, what they do is warn you that, you know, because what are you, a mob boss? Like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm never, like, have you ever had a conversation? Lawyers are the most boring people in the universe. Like, no lawyers ever said that to anyone in the world.
No. Also, like, if the police are in a place where they're murdering people, then why would they not just murder people? Like, I am always amused when it's like, well, you know, if I didn't leave, these murderers would have murdered me. Murderers would just murder you. They don't give you a...
They don't wait until the police give them an okay. Just,
okay, is it okay to murder? I'm a murderer. And as a murderer, but I am
Is it the purge day yet?
I'm punctual. I only murdered three.
I want to do it on the purge day. And you know, like the best part about this story is how many different lies he has to tell while he's telling the story to get his point across. I still am not sure, quite sure what the point is, but...
Do you think any part of this is true? Like, has he ever been to a lake, for example? You know?
Has he ever spoken to a lawyer?
Like, I'm doubting the veracity.
I'm going to say he's spoken to lawyers.
Now, later, the last laugh happened when the sheriff and others got busted for narcotics. And Texas Monthly did a story about it and didn't believe me and actually went back and asked people. And they said, no, that actually went on. Now, look how crazy that was. 30-plus years ago, I'm 44, so I was about 13, 14 when all that started. And look what we've done against the globalists, look at Bohemian Grove, look at it all. All of us are being called towards a quickening.
Is this the Highlander now?
Hey.
It's the Highlander. There's going to be a guy with a samurai sword just
lopping
from
heads.
Scotland.
Like, why don't you have a claymore? Those are heavy.
Look,
I'm not carrying one of those
I'm
around.
I'm a Spanish guy who went to the Orient, China, to get a samurai sword. Thank you very much.
They he was, what, did
and
he say that?
I am the Kurgan and I have a put to, like, remember the snappy sword he had? He had
no.
the, don't you what? Remember the first Highlander? Do you remember the first Highlander?
I don't. I remember the, ago? Yeah, I remember so, the second one because heads just fell the, off the of
Kurgan,
people.
The Kurgan, who was the evil guy in that.
Okay.
He's the one who had the, he had the safety pins in his neck. I don't know if you remember the, he's the character. He's a,
I don't even remember this at all.
I think it was the bully from one of those old timey movies too. Like,
was it the
like,
Gooch from Different I don't Strokes? Know,
something like that. Anyway, this dude is like, he's got a sword in that movie. This is the funniest shit ever. It's a broadsword that okay. he carries in a briefcase. He opens. This is the best. This is the best. Okay. He opens the briefcase and it's in pieces. And he
Wait,
takes
the sword
handle,
is in pieces?
He takes the handle and he puts it there. And then he starts taking pieces of the broadsword and they snap together. And then he's got to snap together the broadsword. Then he fights the final battle. That story is more believable than anything else Jones has said.
He's got a
snap tight.
What did he buy it from IKEA? Does it have cam locks and dowel rods?
It's literally like a snap. It's the dumbest sword you've ever seen in your entire life. Like I saw it when I was like, when I was 10 and I had a boner about swords, I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
And we're either going to resonate with the dark satanic force or the force of life.
What is that?
We're going to resonate with the round.
Nothing. It means nothing.
Can I hear the whole thing about the quickening and the dark forces one more time?
Let's just try it all here.
Against the globalists, look at Bohemian Grove, look at it all. All of us are being called towards a quickening.
Don't know what that means.
And we're either going to resonate with the dark satanic force or the force of life. Uh-huh. We're going to resonate with the Roundup and the genetic engineering and the nuclear war. We're going to resonate with happy green fields and butterflies and our children.
Wait, those are our options? Wait a minute. Nuclear war or butterflies?
Nuclear war or your children. I'll choose the war.
Have you met my kids? Are you kidding me?
Any kids. Fuck
the
it.
Fucking house would be cleaner if a bomb went off inside
fuck it.
And the strongest people out there don't choose the evil. They're strong enough to buck it. And to go through it. And I don't tell you that story to sit there and impress you.
What?
But I do want to point out, I was banging a 17-year-old before I had pubic hair.
When I was 13.
They liked the boys smooth back then.
I don't tell. You could not tell a less impressive story. I don't tell that story to impress you. Well, I couldn't imagine a world where that would have done the trick.
I think I would have been more impressed with you failing to flip an omelet. Like, that would be the more impressive. You're like, yeah, so I just decided to make scrambled eggs with bacon and cheese instead of making an omelet. Because I just, like, every time I put it over to the side, I tried to pull it up. And I'm using one of those nonstick pans. It got a little stuck in there. And I tried to shove it off to the side. But, you know, and sometimes, and so I just decided, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to stir it up. So I just stirred it up with the spatula.
Because I'll be honest with you, I love women and they were great pieces of ass.
Oh my God.
What 13-year-old boy is banging away? Like, you love those stories. And like, yeah, I lost my virginity at 9.
They were a great piece of ass.
It was an innie back then.
I'm just glad he's keeping it classy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's one thing. We almost walked away from this story a handful of seconds early. I just want to say, like,
I'm glad. I'm glad we waited. Alex didn't wait.
They were great pieces of ass. Amazing.
But they weren't there to get me because they thought I was good looking.
Because no, I wasn't. Let me tell
you. Because you look like Chunk from fucking Goonies, man.
Can you imagine, like, look at how ugly he is now? Can you imagine his awkward face?
You know he used to make a belly talk. You know he did.
Just drew the...
Oh.
Come here, I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
I love this story. This is from Newsweek. Newsweek is fucking killing it these days. They're not fucking around. Trump is so angry about Mueller, he mostly just sits, he mostly just eats and watches TV. I don't know if this is true. I have no idea if this is true at all. But I still kind of love the idea that, like, we're even writing stories with any seriousness about our president, where he's, like, in such a bad mood, he's just like, fine, fuck it, I'm just going to put these, I'm going to have this Ben and Jerry's.
I don't even care.
You watch... I'm gonna watch my shows.
I wonder if he like sits around and his wife beat her and he asks Melania to get him a beer.
Right?
He's like, hey, give me a beer.
I'm just gonna sit around and watch Rick and Morty all day. Fuck all you guys.
Let me tell you, you know, if he's asking Melania to get him a beer, it would be so much better if Archie Bunker was the president.
Is Archie Bunker not the president now?
I think, you know, you go back and watch some of those Archie Bunker stuff. Yeah, he's a racist. Yeah, he's kind of shitty. But I think once in a while, he kind of has a heart of gold.
And so, like, at least there's once in a while he's redeemable as a person.
Oh my God. Think about what's being said right now. There's a
His son is fucking meathead. Like, his son is fucking a meathead. Perfect. Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's got a ditzy daughter.
I was listening to Fire and Fury. It's okay,
yeah,
by it's the way. Right.
Yeah,
did you listen to it?
I listened to it, yeah.
Yeah. Did you get through the whole thing?
Not the whole thing yet, no.
How about, I don't know, third or...
Yeah.
You know, one thing that was said that I heard that I thought, I did think was interesting, it struck me as that it feels generally true. And I it's as far as I'll go with it, right? So I don't want to... But, you know, it's like, you know, he's talking about how Trump's always been wealthy, very, very wealthy, came from a very, very wealthy family. And like, when you are that wealthy, the world kind of revolves around you, and you have, like, you set your schedule and you become this sort of like ultimate creature of habit because you get all of your whims whenever you want to get them. And I was thinking about it, and it's like, you know, in my life, in your life, in regular people's lives, like, we're always changing and adapting to the world.
Sure.
But when you have this level of resources, you don't have to change or adapt to the world. You are by and large able to move the world around you. You know, you're going to eat when you want to eat. You're going to go where you want to go. The world is going to cater to you like it does to a toddler, like it does to an actual, like a little kid is on a schedule.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that and I was like, you know, is there something about like extreme wealth that should disqualify somebody from office? Because it almost seems like at a certain level, it disqualifies you from participation in the real world. And I don't know how well I believe that. I don't know that I do. It just struck me as an interesting thing to think about. Is like, is there a point where you're so wealthy, you're no longer adapting to the world? The world is adapting to you, and your conception of how things work is just wrong. It's just how it works for you and not almost anybody else.
I don't know, you remember when McCain was talking about, you know, do you think, you know, people are going to want, you know, $50,000 just for picking plants or something? I don't know if you remember, there was something he said that made him seem so out of touch with reality.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt like super out of touch. And I recognize that there's many of these people who say things that seems very out of touch. It feels like they're not living the American experience like many other people are. You know, I spent almost my entire life living paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, my adult life and my young life, like, paycheck to paycheck was just how I lived. Like, you just expected that money to come in, and there was never any savings, never any cushion, never any ability to fall back on anything else. It was always just like, this has got to work.
Yeah.
This has got to work for me. And I feel like many times when I hear somebody talk about, you know, the shitty people on welfare, or how people are, you know, taking advantage of the government and they're just sitting on the dole and they're not doing anything and whatever, however they're sort of treating those people. I feel like when people say that sort of thing, they've never had to experience that for themselves.
Yeah,
they don't know what that feels like. They don't know what it feels like to eat government cheese. They don't know what it's like to drink powdered milk because their family can't afford it. And they don't know what that feels like. So they just they've also been, I think, probably pretty privileged in their life so that they haven't had to have any hardships. Feel like, you know, you get somebody who's had some hardships in their life, they have a little bit of empathy for the little guy, let's be real honest, the little guy is a majority of America.
It's almost everybody.
It's almost everybody. The very small, slim amount of people that live on that immense amount of wealth that we're talking about here, that, you know, most people do live paycheck to paycheck. They don't live in a way where they're just like, yeah, I've got a whole year's salary saved up just in case something goes wrong or whatever. Nobody does that. People don't do that.
When we're being governed, I feel like we're being governed by a group of people who by and large see the American experience as a thought experiment. They don't have a connection to it.
Yeah.
So it's a thought experiment about like who people are and how they live and like what they need. And like, if you are so divorced from the reality of how people scrape by week to week to week to week, like, your ability to connect is just fucking minimal.
14%.
Holy shit.
Oh, this is according to Huffington Post article from 2014, right? So a couple years ago, 4 years ago, according to a A 2014 article, more than 45 million people, or 14.5% of all Americans, live below the poverty line in that last year. So they're talking about the census stuff that came out.
What is the poverty line? Like dollars wise. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
So just as a point of reference, the federal poverty level for an individual, $12,140 a year.
$1,000 a month. That's pre-tax. They're probably not going to, they are getting taxes taken out, but they're probably not getting much taken out, but still.
For a family of two, $16,460.
Yeah. For a family of two.
For a family of three, $20,780. For a family of four, $25,100.
They're going up in increments of about $4,000. It's $4,000 all the way up, I think. I want to say it's $4,000.
Oh my God.
$4,200.
So, okay. So, you know, what's crazy to think about, Cecil, is let's say you're a fucking family of four making 30 grand.
Yeah.
You're not on the poverty line. But that is desperate, dire times, man. 30 yeah, grand 30 to raise grand. Four people? Yeah.
Well, depending on where you live. You know, like we live in an area where it's pretty expensive to live. Like Chicagoland area is not cheap to live in. You know, you could feasibly be living somewhere where it's much cheaper to live. You know, like, you know, very rural areas, parts of the country.
Right.
Probably a
yeah.
lot cheaper to live. But still, that's
shit,
still
that's,
very, very, very little money.
Very little breathing room,
yeah.
man. Like,
yeah,
it,
no.
like there's nothing
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
There's nothing there. Yeah. Like just to pay the electric bill and feed people and like yeah. house them and yeah. like transport yourself to and from work. How the fuck are you supposed to do that on less than, cause that's, you know, you're still paying like, what do you take home? You yeah. take home $1,200 every 2 weeks, $1,300 every 2 weeks. If you don't pay any taxes or benefits or medical benefits or saving for retirement, if you just take the cash.
Yeah. If you just cash out every time.
And don't pay any, and nobody gets medical benefits.
You know you're going to, you got to pay part of that Social Security no matter what.
But
you're not going to get away with that.
That's the thing is, so your take home, let's say you're 30 grand, you have a family of four, you're paying Social Security and you have health insurance because, I mean, fuck, what if you don't have health insurance?
Yeah. Without health insurance at 30 grand a year. That's
so,
one doctor's visit.
But like, so like I have health insurance. I have a good company, right? So like, but my health insurance is $500 out of my check every month. So that's what comes out of my check.
Sure.
So I'm starting with like $2,400. I pay Social Security. Then I pay another $5,000. I'm not taking home $2,400. I'm taking home $18
yeah.
on the generous side.
Yeah.
Let's say your rent is super fucking cheap. Super fucking cheap. And it's $700 a month. You got nothing.
Yeah.
You got, how are you eating food and paying for the gas and the electric and
all the little, you would have to have every moment of your life budgeted out and you would have to be getting assistance. I think no matter what, you're getting some
and that's
assistance.
Not the, po- and I
and
took
that's
it,
not the, poverty.
I added five
yeah,
grand
absolutely.
To the poverty line. That was the point of that.
Like, I think you're getting some assistance at that point. You have to,
and we're talking about 15% of people at this level.
Yeah.
So what's the percentage of people that are in
that
the
are
fucking,
near,
oh shit.
That are near level.
Level. Right.
That are near it, but not on it. You know, when you start
right.
looking at that, you know, near the poverty line, how much, you know, if you did an error bar on it,
right?
That's like $5,000 or $6,000 above or below, you know, like what's above a little bit, $5,000 or $6,000 above, you're still kind of in the poverty line. You know, I mean, you're hovering around it,
right?
You know, you're not officially there, but you're certainly living it.
You're living. And again, like to the original point, we're being governed by people who by and large cannot conceive of this existence is anything other than a thought experiment.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. When they talk about he's just sitting around, he's eating, he's watching TV. I wonder if they're like, you know, when they do the autopsy, if they're just going to find like half a hot dog in one of his veins. just like, no, that's what did it. It was the hot dog near his heart. His heart valve got lodged on a hot dog.
So weird. He's got a lung full of Cherry Garcia. You wouldn't think.
I just want to say, I've never seen a guy whose spleen was actually a piece of chocolate cake. Like it was just like a floating piece, a three-layer chocolate cake.
Can you imagine if this was true and he's just like,
he's just fucking binge eating,
angrily,
he's eating
just
his
like
feelings,
just watching like fucking marathoning Orange Is the New Black and like, you know, fuck you guys.
But he's not though, you know, because he's obsessed about himself, and
yes.
so he constantly is watching. Watching the news
right.
to hear about him, and he's only watching things that reinforce his opinion about how great he is and never watching any criticism.
Well, I read an analysis not that long ago. I'm trying to remember where I read it, that it compared what's on TV during his peak tweeting times. And so like when Fox and Friends is on, he tweets a fucking shitstorm during Fox and Friends. And he parrots lines directly from Fox.
Absolutely. Yeah. He hears it and he's like, that's a good one.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he'll direct quote in his tweets, Fox and Friends shit. Like we're being governed by Fox and Friends.
Yeah. No, they're the guys. It's a
show called Fox and Friends. It sounds like a kindergarten
show. It
does.
It sounds like something Mr. Rogers would cut
right?
to. So Tom, let's take a few seconds to talk about our sponsor, our wonderful sponsor, AdamandEve.com. It's springtime.
It is.
And this is normally when you impregnate people. Isn't that how this works?
Well, you can.
Or is this when you give birth? When is it?
I don't know, man. All I know is it's always time to practice.
Right.
You know,
you want to make sure when you step up to the plate, you're ready to think about baseball. You know what I mean?
I don't always hit a home run, but I go down swinging every time. I'm just saying. I'm bad at sex, but if you'd like to get better at sex, if you're also bad at sex and you'd like to get better, you can go to adamandeve.com and you can buy things with batteries. And those are always good. Consistent.
They're way better than you. It's going to be way better than you are.
You are not 1,000 RPM, right? Like, I don't care.
No matter what you do.
I'm so good at it. I can do this thing with my fingers or whatever
You do probably produce your own juices, but they're almost certainly not as good as the juices you can get at adamandeve.com.
The long-lasting and delicious lubes available.
But if you go to adamandeve.com and you enter Gloria at checkout, you'll get 50% off almost any item, a free sex swing, and free shipping. So go there now.
All right, this story is also from Right Wing Watch. Alex Jones had a weekend meltdown after Trump announced Syria airstrike. So in case anybody doesn't know, the Syrians gas their own people like they do.
Yeah.
You know, and Trump, you know.
Allegedly.
Yeah. We're coming the fuck on with that shit, right? You see the fucking videos of the kids. Yeah. And it's like, allegedly, you know.
It was a false flag. False flag,
right? So
don't sue me, Syria.
You're gonna get fucking deposed. Like, man, I gotta go to Syria.
Damn it.
It's
the worst.
So Trump launched a bunch of missiles again. That's his thing. Like, you know, you shoot missiles at your people, I'll shoot missiles at you, and then we'll have a missile fight.
You had an interesting point earlier, and I just want to touch on it briefly, but you know, you had an interesting point about chemical weapons and how that's a red line. You had said, you know, dying from a bomb is just as horrible.
Yeah. Haley and I were talking about this like after it happened, because initially my reaction was like, you know, I feel a little torn. I was like, you know, I'm kind of pro. Should there be an international red line? Should there be? And I think, you know, the international red line has always been this WMD line that we've been fed, right? Weapons of mass destruction. There's three categories. It's nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons. And I think that there's a really strong case for nuclear, right?
Sure, yeah.
Anybody who argues that case is just an idiot and I won't entertain it. I think the same can be said for biological weapons, right? You know, and the reasons for that are numerous and obvious. But you know, like, and I'm not condoning it by any stretch of the imagination, but when I've seen the use of chemical weapons, and then I see the aftermath of this, and we, Haley and I were talking, she's like, you know, you see these kids are like blown off legs and melted faces from a regular bomb. Why is that any different? And I was like, you know, that's a fucking really good point. And I got to thinking about it and we got to talking about it. And I was like, I don't know that it's any different. You know, like why do we have this category of evil shit? And we say, oh, that's evil. But this other category of shit, which let's be honest, is just as evil. Regular ordnance, these barrel bombs.
Sure. Yeah.
Like we're okay with that. Yeah. That's not a red line.
Yeah.
Either there's a red line called you fucking killed your civilians and we just won't allow it.
Yeah.
Or you don't have one. This idea that we have a red line called you killed your civilians and you did it like a duty head.
I'd be interested to hear if anybody has any counterpoints to that. I'm sure we'll get some. But I'm curious what the counterpoints to that will be. This is Alex Jones, though. He's very upset that Trump launched some airstrikes.
Trump ordered strikes in Syria, claims proof of gas attack, blast in capital. Syria launches counterattack. Syria abruptly ends segment when former head of British Armed Forces.
Syria didn't end the segment. Sky News ended the segment. You can't even read.
It's just a mission. Yeah, because he loves his freaking kids, man.
I love the idea that, like, if you don't agree with Alex Jones, you don't love your kids.
Yeah.
Right? No, isn't that implicit in there?
I think he's saying, I don't know, maybe.
Maybe you're right. Because it was part of his last argument from the last story we did, where it's like, on the one side, you got nuclear war and Satanists. And on the other side, you got people who love their kids and puppy dogs or whatever. Dogs.
You have chemical weapons on one side and barrel bombs on the other.
I mean, I feel like I just had my best girlfriend break up with me. I'm in the left.
Your best girlfriend?
That one's the best one.
Oh, I have like 65 girlfriends, but the best one.
The best. You're the best one. And Trump's just like, please stop calling me, honey. Alex, this is weird.
I will wear the wig.
Oh, man, judge, this ain't funny, man. Go back to the video. Go back to the audio.
It's so funny with his fucking alligator tears up right now.
Crocodile.
Crocodile tears?
Is it alligator tears?
In Alex America, tears? It's alligator.
Alex tears?
Alex Gator God, tears? God.
But they can break anybody. Fox News has it live, MSNBC. I'm going to try to cover some of this news, but I'm not being a drama queen here. But
oh, I think you are. Oh, no. Being a drama queen with the drama and also the reference to my best girlfriend.
Do you remember when the Stooges used to snore? They'd be like, that's what he sounds like to me. He sounds like a stooge snoring. Like
or a little bit like Beaker.
I was basically told by the Democratic Party, and it wasn't even done officially. They were just like, you know, stop supporting Trump. And
wait, hold on. You were told officially by the Democratic Party to, because he said it wasn't not unofficially.
Right. Yeah. I think that's right. Yeah, it wasn't not unofficial.
I don't.
I'm going to need a few minutes with that.
I don't know. Maybe I'm misremembering what he said.
It was.
I thought he said something like that. But they sent you on official letterhead, just the words.
Dear Alex Jones,
stop supporting Trump.
Oh, see, so hold on. We're getting a call. Oh, it's the Democratic Party on the phone.
Oh, okay.
They wanted us to stop supporting Alex Jones, actually.
Right, yeah.
So weird.
Stop making fun of Alex Jones snoring.
It's the opposite of what my ex-wife says. She says, you know, oh, the system took the kids away from me. No, you got the kids back because of who I was part of the time.
Wait, who I was part of the time?
Wait, can I have that whole thing over again about his ex-wife?
Is he talking about...
He's talking about the fact that, like, his ex-wife sued
ads
for custody.
On Craigslist? What's going on
here? You know, stop supporting Trump. And it's the opposite of what my ex-wife says. She says, you know, oh, the system took the kids away from me. No, you got the kids back because of who I was part of the time. And then they sit there and they're like, you know, if you just turn against Trump, things will be better. But he was doing...
What did the ex-wife anecdote have to do with this?
I don't know exactly.
I don't even understand the anecdote. I'm not sure what happened in that story.
He really did veer off just to tell you that his wife stole his kids from who he was part of the time.
I love the idea. It's like, look, I'm not a rapist all the time. I sleep sometimes.
I have to eat.
And I don't like getting judged.
I have to walk the dog. Other stuff I have to do.
I mean, there's a refractory period.
Doing good, and that what makes it so bad.
Wait. Let's rewind a little, because he sort of does that. He does the sad clown, like, I'm the saddest clown in the world. Give me a second. This is amazing.
He's got
amazing.
Big sad.
This is amazing.
And they're like, you know, if you just turn against Trump, things will be better. But he was doing good, and that what makes it so bad.
That's what makes it so bad.
Next, we're going to hear from our sadness correspondent, Eeyore. He's going to tell us about the little black rain cloud.
He's so sad. Even though I know it's fake, it's still good. That's what I tell my wife.
Look at his shitty face purse up like a puckered asshole.
Look at his face.
Oh, and that's what makes it so bad. He'd have been a piece of crap from the beginning. It would be so bad.
I want to stand up and do a dance.
If it would have been a piece of crap from the beginning.
If it would have been bad from the beginning.
She used to be nice to me and now she's mean to me and I feel like my heart doesn't feel like the way I want it to feel.
So sad. It's amazing.
But we made so many sacrifices.
Now he's crapping all over us. It makes me sick.
Oh, see, now he's mad. Angry. No, he's shifted gears.
Oh, he just
now
got mad.
Angry.
He now got mad. The roids kicked in.
The Hulk was sad, and now the Hulk is mad.
Hulk's emotions make Hulk confused.
Hulk on a emotional roller coaster.
So you think it's over for Trump? I mean, where do we go?
What do you mean it's over for Trump? What the fuck does that mean?
Because
he's
Alex
still
Jones?
In office. Is he going to have a grabber next week? Maybe.
It's possible.
Maybe. But it's not over for him. What does that even mean?
I love the idea. It's like, without Alex Jones' support, Trump is done for. Like, Trump is like, oh my God, did I make him cry? I can't believe I made him cry. I feel so bad I made him cry. Oh.
You know, if Trump called him next week, he'd be kissing his ass.
He would be sucking. Right? He would suck his dick on his show right now.
Absolutely, yeah. He'd lift up that belly just to find it.
Rest it on his head?
Just to find
it. Just go ahead and put this up here.
It's drooping down,
don't
covering
worry.
His ears.
I got to put your belly on my head and push back.
It's like an orca and earmuffs then, that he's got on. They're just pressing up against the side.
I got to purse my lips real hard.
Push back the man fupa.
From here.
Yeah, he's not a Russian agent. Those damn casinos and all of it. Of course, there's something that
they're still going to try
no
to impeach
and run
too.
That and have it perfect. It's not the
I love it. At this point, he's just about? Like, all right, he's dirty. Yeah. Well, you know, I was hoping that
nobody
would care.
Nobody can run that and have it just be perfect. Come on.
That he launched missiles at Syria, they're going to find out he's corrupt with the Russians. What the fucking what?
The nature of it.
See, but here's
and
the
thing. So we let Mueller and these ass
fuckers, what? Ass clowns.
Find out
ass
the truth.
Bags.
Which
ass.
Ass men?
Go with that. I don't know.
Ass men. It's not a license plate.
People.
Ass people.
Ass people.
They're ass people. Let's do it one more time.
And here's
and
the
so
thing.
We let Mueller and these ass people crawl ass up his people. Rear end and do this. So I guess we.
Well, I guess if you're an ass person, where else would you go? You got to crawl up somebody's rear end.
I feel like if you're an ass person who crawls up people's rear end, you're just a proctologist. Yeah. You don't like, it would be a really weird
ass
business
people
card.
Go in, but they don't check out.
Yeah, go ahead and call the ass people about that. That's going to get.
Am I getting polyps? Can you call the ass people?
This hemorrhoid is going to, call the ass people. Honey, get the ass people on the phone. The ones that crawl up your ass.
Let this happen. We let them do this. The Republicans let them do this. You know, I'm not defending Trump, but you know what? We let this happen, Owen.
No, the American people let this happen when they let Mueller run rogue for a year and a half.
Run rogue?
Wait, it's an investigation. He's looking. Look, the thing is, like, if he investigates and then he doesn't find anything, then he didn't find anything from the investigation. If you investigated me for Russian corruption, Cecil, you could look at everything I've ever written ever in all the history of time. You would find no Russian corruption.
Without answering to anybody with the full force and will of the government behind him for
anybody
no reason.
Anybody that doesn't.
Well, that's because he works for the government. It's Mueller. That's why, of course, he has the full force of the government behind him.
The government is Republicans. Did we miss that part? We got to say it out loud. The government is a bunch of Republicans. You're like, oh, the Republicans are really under attack by themselves. Fuck.
Wait, what?
It's like jerking off and calling it rape.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you don't get to do, like, oh, I didn't consent. What the fuck? Oh, I fucking Me Too'd myself. Are you kidding me?
World War III is a goddamn Russian. I'm not a freaking Russian, man. I want freedom.
But now
he's going to paint his face blue and get his guts put freedom.
They're not going to stop coming after Trump. So even though he...
Well, no, they will. They'll stop once they find things and then they arrest him for it.
Or he dies.
Right.
Which is soon.
There's only a handful
I don't
want to
kill him. I don't want to kill... Right. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying kill him. I'm saying he's going to kill himself by eating cheeseburgers.
That is the American
way. That's the way he dies.
My friend.
That's the way he dies.
Yeah. On his grave, it'll just say, I had it my way.
Yeah. His headstone just has his cheeseburger order.
It just says yes.
You can nuke Russia, they're not going to stop.
Yeah, there's no
never
winning.
Enough unless we put dirt back Hillary in and worship that ugly goddamn piece of.
Well, you don't want to swear. You don't want to swear.
Himself.
That's
he wait, caught wait, himself.
But why there? That's the part. That's the part.
Because
that
there's
me.
A red line.
I'm going to call her an ugly goddamn piece of, but hold on. I don't want to be.
I don't want to be rude.
That's a lady. Yeah. And I don't want. I have to treat. Don't. You cannot disparage that cunt in front of me. That's what you can't. pause for a second?
Alex Jones stares into your soul at 2:30 of this video. It's
Can
amazing.
I ask the obvious question? Why does Alex Jones have a vampire on next to him? Like his correspondent.
Is he sparkling?
He kind of is, isn't he? That guy has never even seen a window.
That guy is Team Edward. That's all I'm saying.
I've never seen anyone so pale, and I'm this pale. He's just, nothing's happening. This is not paused audio.
They both just were like,
fuck.
Fuck. So we're joined by a portion of the Waiting for Wrath podcast right now. Not the entire crew. It's not like the entire Thrill Kill Cult 47 of them.
just the handsome ones.
It's just the handsome ones are joining us today.
Oh, they're not on video. Yeah.
Okay. It's a set of very clever filters.
I think we need more filters. Just like you get that Snapchat one where it's like, you know, like two faces blended in together.
Oh, no.
With the dog nose.
There we
and
go.
The puppy and
then,
ears.
Yeah, the puppy yeah. ears. Yeah. And then blur that.
You use the old drag queen trick with Vaseline over the camera lens.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
The drag queen trick. I actually just carry Vaseline and smear it on people's eyes before I expect them to see me.
That's a good policy.
They're like, oh, it's nice. Oh, God, what are you doing? I look better this way.
They're actually like, no, thank you so much. So like, please pack as much as you can on my eyes.
I think about it as makeup yeah. for other people. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like, here, I'll look better if you wear this.
Well, that's what we always tell people at Drag Queen Bingo is the more you drink, the better we look.
Speaking of Drag Queen Bingo, one of the reasons why we wanted you on the show was to talk about this charity.
What? Yes, and thank you very much for having us. It's very timely.
It's lovely. Appreciate it.
We've got Drag Queen Bingo coming up here April 28th, and we raise money for Wyoming AIDS Assistance. Everything that we raise stays here in the state of Wyoming and goes to people living with HIV or AIDS. We pay for all of the little things that insurance and other assistance programs don't cover. So, you know,
like deductibles.
Yeah. At times, yeah. Copays, rent, electric bills.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Oh, my God. I feel so sad that I'm right about that. That joke shouldn't be possible. America is broken
in oh so many ways.
I thought I was winning.
Man,
move my happy ass back to Canada.
Jesus, man.
That's hold on a minute. That's kind of amazing because, you know, we filling in the gaps when people get sick is just, I mean, it is incredibly important. And something people don't think about. We think about, and I think, you know, we think about like, oh, I've got insurance, I'm okay. And it's like, yeah, you got insurance, you're maybe not 100% fucked.
That's not gonna...
But there are so many gaps that still need to be filled if somebody gets really sick. You know, like you said, like it's the rent, it is childcare. Like, think about all the expenses that are associated with just being, I don't know, think about it, you guys fucking do it. But I think it's amazing work because yeah. those gaps are the difference between fucking poverty and, you know, being able to focus on getting well without, you know, the added stress of financial destruction.
And how many people are wind up with, because of this, wind up, even with insurance, wind up medically bankrupt?
Oh,
that
yeah.
happens all
it
the
happens
time.
Happens constantly.
Most of
constantly.
Them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, most of them don't have a whole lot of spending money, period. Yeah. Even if you've got access to insurance and funds like Ryan White funds and things like that from a state program.
Yeah, it's healthcare in Wyoming is particularly rough because we often
are
you'll
in
have
Wyoming.
To drive. Well, yeah, well, you know, I mean, there's only so much that Burning Sage can do. Yeah. And
gotta go see a horse doctor.
Just, I ain't never worked on no person before. Oh my God, the veterinarian's busy. What do we do?
This one's got two legs. I don't know what to do.
Which one's his hoof?
Is he birthing a foal? That's not.
That's
he
no,
said
that's,
he. That's not.
Fuck. That's a whole different set of disorders.
You're fired.
Yeah, no, we live in the middle of goddamn nowhere, so yeah. If you have to get dental care, it can mean driving for an hour and a half, like on the interstate, an hour and a half.
Jesus Christ. You gotta get hella lifted to get a cavity filled.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but
Are you kidding me?
The benefits of being on the interstate here in Wyoming is they let us go 80 in most places, because there's nothing from here, you know, for at least 45 fucking miles. So we
pro tip, you could go 160. There's no one there.
Say, it's like they let us. There's no they, guys. You're they.
We've only got like 60 highway patrol officers for the entire state. Awesome. So you just have to dodge them.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Wait a minute. There's 60 for the whole. I would just be jerking off the whole time if I was one of them. You'd be like, whatever. No one's paying attention. I'm going to fucking jerk off for 8 hours and go home.
Is that not why you have an automatic transmission?
Hashtag winning.
That's why I have cruise control.
Oh, man. Like, they said I could drive stick. It was not the thing that they said it was.
One of these things is not like the other.
The other's a penis.
Yeah. Ooh, my favorite.
But yeah, so one of the things we can cover is all of that gas, because goddamn with the driving.
Wow.
It occurred to me that I should probably have to specify on the highway, because when you guys drive for an hour and a half, you get like 3 blocks down the road.
Three? <Right. laughs> That's generous.
Well, I mean, I just assume part of it's on the sidewalk. But
for example, I live 16 blocks from our studio in downtown, and I sometimes can get here in 45 or 50 minutes.
Holy fuck. Yeah. I have a 5-minute commute from my office.
I live on the other side of town from work, and it's about 5 miles for me to drive into work. I get grumbly when I have rush hour and it takes me a whole 10 minutes to get to work. It pisses me off.
Fucking kill these people.
Stuck behind a buggy, man, that shit takes forever.
I seriously, like, if I have a morning meeting in the city, I live about 35 miles out of the city center. If I have a meeting in the city in the morning, I'll stay overnight the night before. Because that 35-mile drive can easily take 3 hours. It can easily take 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So you're right. You're right. But you would spend, I think, more gas here if you had to go 90 miles.
90 miles out here, you'd never arrive. I don't think anyone's ever driven 90 miles
from Chicago.
No, you can't do it.
It's like a black hole. You just keep getting. Every time I leave, they suck me back.
Like 89 miles, you just loop back to mile one. Like, fuck.
Happened again.
Oh, God.
That's getting way too close to Iowa, isn't it?
That's what you plan to just have your kids arrive in your stead. Yeah. That's
now I want to ask, years ago, AIDS treatments, they were pretty extensive. They've cut down a lot on that, haven't they? There's been a lot of progress in that.
We've been very lucky that this is something that research money has continued to go to. And so the medications are better. The treatments are better. We know so much more about how the virus works. We now have preventive treatments like PrEP that you can take that will help avoid transmission. We know more
can I interrupt? Because I don't know. Yeah. I've never heard of that. So what is that?
PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis. And doesn't that sound much fancier than it really is? What PrEP is it's some of the same drugs that you take once you have, they're antiretrovirals. So it's some of the same drugs that you take if you're HIV positive. And we've learned that if you take them before being exposed to the virus, that it can actually be up to 99% effective in preventing transmission.
Okay, I have a really dumb follow-up question. I know this is a dumb follow-up question, but like, why wouldn't we all just take that then?
America.
Is that the reason?
Well, I mean,
Drug companies.
Are there a lot of side effects, I guess? Like, because if it's 99% effective, my math says that's very effective. Yeah. And then nobody would get HIV anymore. And then we'd be done with that now. Right?
You would think that it would be that simple. Unfortunately, getting the money from government programs to cover that for everybody, insurance covers it in some places. There's a whole lot of social reasons and stigma associated with it. People think that if you're on PrEP, That you're irresponsible, that you just want to have all the sex with none of the responsibility.
Well, yeah,
you're
but
whore.
Hold on a minute. Like, slut who shaming. Wouldn't want that? Yeah. Like, I'm joking around, but I'm also not. Like, if we could all have sex without responsibility, if I could take a pill called I Can Fuck Without Responsibility, I would always take that pill. There's never going to be, like, we should make that pill. We should be, if that's five pills, we should make that fucking five pills. Whatever, because like we don't handle the responsibility of sex socially very well.
Yeah.
Like people
yeah.
are getting pregnant that don't want to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. People are getting diseases. I don't think anyone wants diseases. Like, I don't understand that argument.
Wait for it. That's
I've for never
sure.
understood that argument. Like, well, you got to bear the responsibility. Well, yeah, until science tells me I don't have to anymore.
Yeah.
Like the responsibility around sex is not a moral good. It's just a pain in the ass that we can fix with technology.
Yeah, also, you right? can fix that pain in the ass.
with a little prep, you shouldn't have one.
See, that's what I'm saying, if you're doing it right. One of the problems is that it isn't like the HPV vaccine or something like that, which still doesn't fucking get applied. It's a daily pill, basically forever. It's like birth control, which I guess we also have plenty of people doing every shit. I shot myself in the foot.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That is part of the problem is that there are some, you know, for some folks, it's hard to comply with a regimen like that. And this drug actually has more of a what they call forgiveness than some others. They kind of estimate that if you were to take it at least four times a week, that you'd still get the benefit and you'd still be pretty well protected. For insurance and liability purposes, they still say you got to take it 7 days a week.
This should be in Pez dispensers.
Yes, it does not. And this is an important distinction. It does not protect you from other sexually transmitted infections.
Well, we need this like for babies. The other ones, though. Right? Like,
just wake up every morning and eat some fucking don't give me diseases. That would be.
Yeah. Who wouldn't eat that?
What then would be true? I would eat a big bowl of breakfast every morning. followed, you know, we drag queens often talk about, oh, just go eat a bowl of dicks. Just have that for breakfast. some rice dickios or what? You know, whatever. Bring it on.
Dickios. Snap crackle pop.
That snap crackle cock is the way that works.
I gotta ask, is there still? Because I think there probably is still a stigma attached to AIDS that it still is a gay disease.
Yep.
I know that when I hear, you know, the religious talk about it on our show, we hear it constantly as like as if it's, you know, it's only afflicting gay people or it's a sort of a gay plague. Whereas, you know, you can get it from a heterosexual sex, you get it from intervenous drugs and things like that. So
get it because mom had sex and may born you know?
Yeah, so there's a lot of ways. But is there still that stigma?
There is still a lot of stigma, not just about it being a gay disease, but just a lot of stigma in general. You know, people are considered dirty and less than human are the way they're treated sometimes. You know, in a lot of places, it's still legal to fire someone. AIDS is something that's covered under the ADA so that once you have HIV or AIDS, you know, you should have some legal protection, but that means you have the resources to fight that. You can go get an attorney or that you have the time or energy to deal with that rather than going and finding a job so that you can pay for your rent and your medication.
And your insurance, which doesn't cover nearly enough.
Yeah. There's a lot of it that becomes a vicious cycle. And even just people. You know, we've had folks who have been run out of town essentially because, you know,
Wyoming and they still run people out of town.
welcome to Wyoming. Don't forget to set your clock back 25 years.
So how much money do you normally raise with this? What's been your goals in the past?
Well, last year we raised $22,000 at Drag Queen Bingo in one night. Since we began, we've raised over $200,000 with Wyoming AIDS Walk and Drag Queen Bingo. Since 2001, we've raised over $200,000, and we're really proud of that because
that's awesome.
We're doing that, you know, one day a year is kind of how we're raising a lot of that. It's all volunteer. We try to get as much of the cost covered as we can. We've been getting state grants the last couple of years again to help offset the cost. So almost every single penny that we raise through Bingo goes to direct client assistance. It's not, there's no administrative overhead. our staff doesn't, you know, get paid. I pay to be a drag queen. Oh, do I pay? I've pre-shaved already. You know, it's a week out. I have stubble in places nobody should have stubble.
Caliente. So I got to ask if somebody's going to donate for, like, listening to our show, would they be able to do that? Like, online, is there a way to donate?
We would love that. And in fact, I'm sitting with the most fabulous webmaster we've ever had, and the only one. Aaron volunteers and donates all of his web services for us. We've got a wonderful website at yoaids.org. There you can make direct donations as little as $5. It can be a one-time donation, a recurring donation every month or so if you want. That's fantastic. We've got a shop with some merchandise with our little cartoon drag queens and our logos and things where you can get, you know, my cartoon drag queen face on a coffee mug because everybody needs that shit at 7 o'clock in the morning.
That is awesome.
It's great. You can donate any amount, really. And that is at WYOAIDS.org. It's super fun. And we're hoping to kind of raise some reoccurring funds so that our whole program doesn't hinge on one event. So,
Tom and I are going to donate $500 to this cause tonight. So we're going to put in $500 to kick it off for you guys.
Oh, hopefully, you're gonna make me cry.
The listeners can follow up. This is a great cause. We hope you guys you exceed your goal from last year and hit your 25,000 mark this year.
That is the goal this year, indeed. So thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah,
sounds like an amazing cause. This is work that needs to be done.
Yeah, and after it's all over, send us a message and let us know how you did.
We will. I don't know what you were talking about, Aaron. They're only half assholes.
Right under the bus.
Cecil, that's mean. They shouldn't talk about you like that.
He just said he was going to get $500. You guys are breaking up. I'm sorry.
Cecil asked. He said, can we give him $500? I said, we can give him $5. That sounds fine. I didn't hear the 100 part.
Crowd control to Major Tom.
Well, once you do that, you know, real world to Wyoming currency conversion, all bets are off.
Gentlemen, if people were going to find your podcast, where would they look?
You would look at waitingforwrath.com or just, you know, Google Waiting for Wrath and any of the pod services. You'll find us making terrible jokes and drinking too much.
That's
our shtick.
Yeah. We're clever like that.
That's how we're paying this $500. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us. And good luck with this charity.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
So we would normally end with Tom and I maybe do an email or something, but we wound up recording two shows in a row because Tom, when this releases, wide release, Tom will have been married for 3 days. Tom's getting married this weekend. So we wound up recording two shows in a row. We're really excited about next week. Next week, we have No Illusions in studio the entire episode. It was a lot of fun to record. We had a great time. That's going to release next Monday. But for this week, we forgot to record sort of the end segment where we wrap up the show because we were trying to record two shows at the same time and Noah was in studio and we wanted to go out and have a drink afterwards. So there was all kinds of, you know, rushing to try to make sure we had everything ready, and we actually didn't have everything ready. So that's why I'm recording this solo right now on a totally different microphone. So we want to thank the guys from Waiting for Wrath, Jim and Aaron, for joining us. You can donate to that charity at WYOAIDS.org. We hope everybody can give a little to help out this charity. We really feel like it's a really good cause. Check out Waiting for Wrath podcast. You can go to waitingforwrath.com. It's the number 4. So waitingforwrath.com. I want to thank Jim and Aaron for joining us. They were a lot of fun to talk to. Really funny guys, and their podcast is really great. Next week, like I said, we're going to have Noah on, and it's a lot of fun, so check us out next week. But we're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain deadpan, sales pitch, late night info-docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.